We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft. But Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Welcome to the Solid Verbal.
The Solid Verbal.
Come after me! I'm a man! I'm 40!
I've heard so many players say, well, I want to be happy. You want to be happy for a day? Eat a steak.
It's that woo woo!
And now, Dan and Ty.
Welcome back to the Solid Verbal, boys and girls. My name is Ty Hildenbrandt. Joining me, as always, over there in the capital of the Midwest, the one and only Dan Rubenstein. Sir, how are you?
The capital of the Midwest, is that official? The greater Chicagoland area?
I was making an assumption.
It's not even the capital of Illinois.
I don't know. Well, it's sort of like the symbolic capital of the Midwest. I don't know. I'm making this up on the fly. How are you?
I'm good, Ty. I'm good. A little bit all over the place today, but I can't really complain. I'm talking to you. We're talking week 9. I guess it's going to be a spooky Slytherin Salamander Saturday. I'm just stringing together words.
I did write Spooky Saturday on my list. I feel like that's a little too cliche that we can do better than that. I've got Shrouded Saturday because there's a costume angle.
Okay.
I've got Shrug It Off Saturday because I just cannot figure out these point spreads and the lines.
That's not bad.
And then I thought if I wanted to go a little bit of both a Halloween angle and the whole like not liking the taste of the lines angle. What about a Sour Patch Saturday?
That's not bad, Ty. That's not bad. I also had Skull and Bone Saturday, but I didn't know how to actually connect a secret club. I don't know. Maybe I'll come up with it during the episode. Maybe that's what we'll say for the end of the episode. But I'm ready to rock, Ty.
Week 9 is upon us. Thank you so much for downloading the preview show. We're going to go through all of the action for week 9 here. Don't forget to go on out to solidverbal.com if you'd like to subscribe. You can also go to verballers.com if you'd like to become one of our trusted Patreons. We've got a live stream. Coming up on All Hallows Eve at 7 p.m. before the games. We will talk about all the action that was. We will talk about all the action that will be. We will be dressing up in costume, though. We have yet to actually plan out what those costumes are going to entail.
You said you were thinking Tootsie, like the Dustin Hoffman character. Like you said you have some, I guess, some prosthetic hookups or something like that. And you said, no, Dan, I am going for it. We are doing video for the first time. I feel like I have a connection on all the elements. I'm going Tootsie Ty for this spooky Saturday.
I heard you've been growing a beard and you're going to go as Dr. Richard Kimball now that you're in Chicago.
Yeah, I gotta do something to my arm if I'm really gonna sell this. Technically, he was not the one-armed man.
No, he was not.
If you're gonna sell home the costume, you gotta really go for it. We gotta commit to the bit. We channel our inner and outer Marty Smiths and commit to the bit.
Could really go Sykes Saturday if you want to steer into the one-armed man angle, but
we gotta get away from these nicknames.
It is week 9. We have much to discuss here. Sour Patch Saturday, Sykes Saturday, Shrug It Off Saturday. It doesn't matter. Should we just dive in and talk college football?
Sure. Maybe it's Shake It Off Saturday. Although I don't think we can, we don't think we can license T-Swift.
No, no.
But there is there is an element for a lot of these teams. Maybe it is Shake It Off Saturday.
Let's do it.
Dan, time, help, I need picks of the week.
Help, I need picks of the week. Right. Mm. I am excited to play that sound clip. I am every week. There are a number of games here. I have no freaking idea where these point spreads came from, Dan.
Great. I'm excited to either agree with you or explain things to you as the intellectual heavyweight that I am.
I think if you're going to do a window of opportunity, by the way.
Oh.
If you're trying to figure out when can I go out and be amongst the people, I think you got to go early.
You have to, Ty.
For once, we agree on something. I think the early window, which we're going to discuss here momentarily, is your opportunity to do that. Just try to be back by like 4 o'clock.
What's the trick-or-treating situation in your neighborhood?
Trick-or-treat night, I believe, is on Friday. So it's not going to interfere with the games. I also don't know if we're putting the light on this year.
Well, it's just a lot. Like, there are protocols now in some places. There are protocols here where it's just like wrap candy in plastic bags individually, leave it out front so you don't interact with people. It's a very different Halloween this year, it seems.
We have some little Hellraisers in the neighborhood.
Oh, same. Yeah.
And they're nice Hellraisers. Like, they do it with a smile. But I'm afraid that if I put a big vat of candy out there, that they're just going to show up with, like, you know, their shirts out and dump it all in the crook of the shirt and run off with it. There won't be anything.
Do you have a mail slot? Do you have something like a doggy door that you could just shoot out one individual bag at a time? A pulley system, perhaps?
No, I don't. I have a dog that would happily chase after anything that moves, but I don't have I don't have that kind of ingenuity at the ready here.
All right. We are saying early window just because, I mean, you have Michigan State. Michigan is, I don't know how interesting it is, but we'll see what we can get out of Michigan, I suppose. West Virginia, Kansas State seems interesting. Georgia, Kentucky could be feisty for a little bit. Otherwise, I think it is, if it's a last minute, select your guard Saturday really is what it is early.
Early slate, 12 o'clock Eastern, high noon. You mentioned K-State and West Virginia. West Virginia is a 2.5-point favorite.
Does this seem off to you?
Yes and no. I understand it. I'm assuming it's because K-State is starting Will Howard at quarterback. And also, to some extent, because West Virginia's played pretty good defense this year.
Sure.
The other indicator that I noted, something that our good friend Bill Connolly calls second-order wins, I interpret it as who is playing better or worse than their record. And if you look at that measure, K-State should have 2.7 wins instead of 4, and West Virginia should have 3.9 wins instead of 3.
I would say I want to know the methodology. I don't know if I do. I don't know if I fully do.
I trust that Bill knows what the methodology is here.
Right. Okay. Fair enough.
It does feel that the line is speaking to us, though, Dan, doesn't it? It does feel like Vegas is saying, if you don't take West Virginia, you got rocks in your head. Because West Virginia minus 2.5 otherwise would feel a little wonky.
Well, I mean, Kansas State's generated big plays pretty admirably, especially through the air. They were very strong on special teams, so there's that element to scoring points against Kansas, mind you, but still points nonetheless in that punt return game. West Virginia struggled with consistency throwing the ball forward and downfield at times, and so there's an area of concern there. I'm just going to roll with the good defense at home. Letty Brown is really impressive. It's a good offensive skill game, I would say. But I'm going to go West Virginia here because I don't know if I fully trust Will Howard against a defense with a heartbeat.
One of the things that I plan on discussing with Matthew McConaughey.
Will Howard?
Not Will Howard.
Oh, okay.
But Mr. McConaughey is noted for betting on intangibles, Dan.
Okay.
Likes to bet on intangibles. I don't really buy that West Virginia is better than K-State, but I do believe in the power of the look ahead.
Yeah, I do believe.
I do believe that if K-State is playing worse than their record, and if they've got a big showdown on deck against the only other undefeated conference team next week in Stillwater, Oklahoma, I believe that look ahead, sir, is something I can get behind. So give me West Virginia outright here.
Yeah, I like them by 5 or 6 points.
We agree.
We agree.
Also, early slot, Michigan State versus Michigan. At last check, I think I saw the line was 25 and a half. Holy cow.
Damn.
Just for reference for the fine folks at home, can you tell me what we do with the records in a rivalry?
You got to throw them out, Tyler. You just got to throw them out.
You got to throw them out. I don't understand why Michigan State didn't use Elijah Collins last week, or more of Elijah Collins against Rutgers.
Okay.
I read some comments from Mel Tucker. Frankly, it's a lot of coach speak that doesn't really say anything. It was a lot of, we want to play multiple backs this year. Okay, dude. Okay. Whatever. 25 and a half, though, in a rivalry. Yeah. Does that feel like too much to you?
This is my Tracy Chapman game, where I'm just looking for a reason. I'm looking for a good reason to feel like Michigan State can hang. The best I can do, and by the way, this is for the Paul Bunyan Trophy, which makes a little bit of sense. I finally watched the Fargo movie last night.
Okay.
And Brainerd, Minnesota, the home of Paul Bunyan and his big blue ox babe. I couldn't find a reason beyond Michigan State can't turn the ball over 7 times again. And I suppose on a certain level, it is impressive if you lose the turnover battle like they did against Rutgers to only lose by 11. So maybe there is. I mean, Rocky Lombardi was accurate, mostly to players wearing green. That's not good enough. That's not a good reason to take Michigan State. So I'm gonna roll with Michigan here and roll with them big.
For as much as what I liked from Big Joe Milton in week one, it does seem like the kind of game where it'd be really easy to overreact on both sides of this.
Definitely. But you got to have a reason, right? Don't you have to have a Sparty reason?
You do normally need to have a reason, not in week two of a season. In week two of a season, you are still largely going off of, for sure, some of what you saw in week one. And that was not great against Rutgers. I'm not going to...
Turnovers can be random, though.
But I'm not going to lie to you.
Getting the ball stripped isn't.
But largely, at least for me, when I'm trying to go off of, you know, whatever I know about a team in week two, I'm still reverting back to the preview. And the preview I did of Michigan State had a step back, but not this much of a step back. So I think Michigan wins.
Well, isn't a step back from where they were last year really far back? It's from where they want to be?
It's several human-sized steps back. For sure.
Maybe a Paul Bunyan size step back?
Sure.
Yeah.
I just think it's too many points in rivalry. I think it's something like 35-14.
Okay. Fair enough. We disagree. I need that glimmer. It was Rutgers time.
It was Rutgers.
You figure if there was going to be glimmer availability, that's where it tends to show itself.
I know. Gosh, don't.
You're saying too many points, but too many points for what?
Don't corner me like this.
We don't know.
I get very uncomfortable. I sweat. Don't do this to me.
All right, we can continue.
Also at high noon, Georgia. -14.5 on the road at Kentucky. So again, keeping with the theme here, keep in the back of your mind that Georgia's got Florida on deck. Potentially a little bit of a look-ahead factor to consider. This one's also on the road in Lexington. Can you figure out Kentucky?
Yeah, I've been trying to explain it to you all year.
Explain it to me again. Pretend I'm an imbecile.
Good defense, good running game, generally on offense. That's it. So
that's it.
I mentioned this on Big Boy Bets. You can listen at bigboybets.show with our pal Jeff Schwartz. Kentucky's sort of SEC Utah. If you are pretty good, there's a really good chance you'll beat Kentucky. If you're only okay or you're worse than that, there's an overwhelming chance Kentucky beats you. And that's, they sort of lean into their strengths. We've seen it time and time again. Mizzou got it done. Mizzou is more complete than I think I gave them credit for. You know, they were carried by Larry Three Sticks, a really nice defense. And if Kentucky needs to move the ball downfield through the air, they're likely going to lose. And to beat Georgia, you need to score 30, 35 points, and you need to be able to play complete offensively, and that includes succeeding downfield through the air. That's not who Kentucky is.
Right. You pretty much have all of my notes. You've taken all of my notes here, and that's fine. That's good. That means we're more than likely going to agree on this level. One.
Yeah, simpatico.
I think there's a chance Kentucky gets drilled.
Sure.
George is good enough to take away the ground game. If you do that, it's Terry Wilson throwing the ball. And that's just, I like Terry Wilson as a human being, but as an aerial, as an aerial threat though, in the SEC against a good defense, I just don't see it. I think this goes one of two ways. I think Georgia wins sloppy 17-16, or they win something like 30-13, and they don't crush Kentucky as much, but they still kind of crush them.
Yeah, so, 37-10. Where does that put me with the spread?
You would cover. I've got it.
Okay.
I've got it 24-10. I'm splitting my own difference here.
Okay. Yeah, I think Kentucky's offense is going to get off the field too quickly, and that it's not going to serve that alley-oop function for their own defense. And Georgia coming off of a bye week, right? They were off last week.
Yep.
As far as I can remember, I don't remember recapping a Georgia game. And you look at what Kentucky's resume looks like now, and it hasn't gotten better. The Mississippi State win hasn't gotten better, hasn't aged well. The Tennessee comfortable win is obviously important if you're a Kentucky fan or a person in the Kentucky program, but it's not like beating Tennessee impressively has aged well based on what Tennessee has done since. So I don't have any reason to like Kentucky more than I did a week or two ago. So, yeah, I'm rolling with Georgia too. Maybe it's close after a quarter and a half, something like that. Kentucky's defense plays well early, but it's just going to be too much if that defense is on the field as much as I think it will be.
Yeah.
That Wildcat defense.
Four other games here that I'll call out in the early block before we move on. Let me know if any of these are of interest to you. We've got
I'm ready.
Purdue -7.5 against Illinois. We've got Iowa State -28.5 on the road against Kansas. Boston College +31.5 against Clemson.
Yep.
And Wake Forest -10.5 on the road against Syracuse. Any of those?
Here's where this is where I think it gets a little spooky. I think Illinois covers this. They beat them by 18 last year, Purdue. And it's a different year. It's a different team. It's week two. Purdue looked pretty impressive against an Iowa team that had deficiencies, I would say, based on their discipline and their secondary. But I think we might be overrating Purdue with this kind of spread. I think Illinois still is okay, and they faced what we believe to be a good quarterback at the very least in Graham Mertz. So I'm going to say Illinois is not as bad as they look last week. I don't think Aiden O'Connell is Graham Mertz. So I'm going to take Illinois there. Iowa State is Kansas, so I'm just going to take clones minus anything. Clemson, BC, I went back and forth on a little bit, but we've seen like those cobwebby, Halloween word, weeks from Clemson. And ahead of Notre Dame, I think this is a neck crack Saturday for Clemson, where they really pour it on once again after having a not so great second and third quarter last week. And I actually think Syracuse covers against Wake. It's another overreaction to me. Wake is almost 11 point favorite on the road.
Correct.
Syracuse has played some pretty good teams. They're not good, but their defense is interesting enough that I think they can slow down Wake. Wake wins this game, 23-14, something like that. I think Syracuse can cover this game at home.
The Halloween neck crack.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't like, was that real? Was that you?
That was not the sound. No, that was the sound.
Oh, God. Thank God.
Moving on to the mid-afternoon slate.
Yeah.
Wisconsin -8.5. On the road at Nebraska.
This is down to 3.5.
Is it down?
That's what I saw a couple hours ago.
What a terrible week of news for Wisconsin, Dan. Wow.
Yeah. You're not laughing at the news. You're laughing at the ridiculousness of looking amazing at quarterback and immediately getting bad news there.
It's a huge bummer. Finally, you get a transcendent quarterback performance that everyone's excited about from Graham Mertz. Kid tests positive for COVID. Second test came back, confirmed it. He now has to sit out a minimum of 21 days per Big Ten protocols.
Yeah.
You'll also recall that Jack Cohn is out indefinitely. He picked up a knock in the preseason, so he's not available either. Then Chase Wolfe, the third stringer, also tested positive.
Yeah.
Which I believe, Dan, means that Wisconsin is down to its fourth stringer, name of the year candidate, Danny Vandenboom.
Yeah.
For this week's game against Nebraska. I am excited for the potential here of a pump-up video featuring POD. That I'm excited about when you talk about Danny Vandenboom.
Here comes the Vandenboom?
That's right.
Okay.
Beyond that, though, because I thought Nebraska looked a lot better on defense, and they're at home, presumably they've got fewer star players out because of the coronavirus, I am inclined to go to Nebraska here plus the points for sure, given circumstances.
Yeah, I'm going to go Nebraska here as well, just because I've watched my own team trot out a fourth string quarterback and then have the announcers talk about who played quarterback in high school but is now a safety or something like that. And emotionally, I'm just not ready to get behind that, especially when the running game is sort of up in the air in terms of who is that actual dude, if that dude exists for Wisconsin in the backfield following JTT. So with Graham Mertz, Wisconsin, capital S, scary, I believe. And yes, it was only Illinois. Without him or Jack Cohn, or what do you say, Chase Wolfe?
Chase Wolfe, yeah.
It's kind of like a parable.
Yeah.
I don't know anything about Danny Vandenboom. I did not watch clips of Danny Vandenboom. I did not read much about Danny Vandenboom. I know he was probably a villain in Scott Pilgrim versus the World.
Yeah.
I am going Nebraska here. First string quarterbacks are pretty great.
I agree with you. But again, I emphasize, what a huge bummer for Wisconsin, man. What a bummer. Hope everyone's all right. But man, what a downer.
POD stands for?
It's been a while. Remind me.
Payable on death.
Oh, great.
Yeah. I mean, it's pretty spooky, right?
4 o'clock, Texas on the road at Oklahoma State. Cowboys, 3.5-point home favorite. Some interesting trends around this game. Oklahoma State's won 4 of the last 5. 3 of these games were decided by a field goal. Texas won last year by 6, so recent history suggesting that this one ends up relatively close. I think I like Oklahoma State here, Dan. I think the defense is real. I think Spencer Sanders gives them an extra dimension in the run game. Not entirely sure if it's an upgrade in the passing game over Shane Illingworth. He was actually pretty good. But Texas, I think, keeps this close. They do rise to the occasion in these big games, and this is a game that's got a history of being decided by a whisker. So 28-24, I think it's tight. Give me Oklahoma State at home. Does that sound right
to
you?
So they cover by 0.5 point?
Yeah, 4-point
win. The hook?
The hook, yeah.
As you know, I've opted out of Texas football for the time being, but it's Sam Ellinger versus a good defense. Give me the good defense.
Yeah.
I'm gonna take Pokes by a touchdown.
We agree. 3:30, LSU -2.5 on the road at Auburn. This is an interesting game to me. This might be the most interesting game of the week. I honestly have no idea here. No idea.
Hit me with your narratives.
Narrative. Well, first off, 2.5 points is such a tease because Auburn's one of those schools that likes to go for 2.
Yeah.
And that'll come back to bite you. So just keep that in the back of your mind if you're putting any hard-earned currency on this one. Auburn's played better teams. We probably know a little bit more about them. I think LSU's getting back on track after a bumpy start. At least at time of recording, Miles Brennan, he's back. He's practicing with LSU, but his status for the game is still up in the air. So even though we know a little bit more about Auburn, it still feels like both teams are a relatively unknown quantity.
Auburn's not going to get any calls. You know that, right? Against LSU after last week and after the Arkansas game. Especially now with the SEC admitting about certain moments in the Ole Miss game that, ooh, yeah, no, that was, should have gone a different way. And the Arkansas game ending the way it did. I'm going to take LSU here. For this is another universe play. I took the universe play with Auburn against South Carolina, and that worked out. And doing so once again, I know LSU's defense has had its struggles, to say the least, but I like the confidence the offense seems to be playing with. They look a little bit more balanced. And no matter who starts at quarterback, the Auburn defense is not the capital A Auburn defense we've come to expect these past couple of years, these past few years under Kevin Steele. I think it has potential, but they've been exposed by teams. So give me LSU as another one of those teams to expose this Tiger-on-Tiger action, and I like LSU by a touchdown here.
Thanks for blowing my cover, because I was going to pull the move where I picked the Tigers, but I will go Auburn Tigers for two reasons.
You want Auburn Tigers. Have fun.
Two reasons. I think they can run on LSU, and Tank Bigsby is someone I want to root for.
That's true. He is fun.
And secondly, LSU has been prone to the big pass play. That's not to say that Auburn has been great at generating them, but they do have big play wideouts in Anthony Schwartz and Seth Williams, and I think they can take advantage here. So I will take Auburn getting points at home, but I do not feel confident about this at all. This is truly one of those games where I look at the line, I just sort of shrug, like I have no idea what to do here.
Yeah, I have the universe on my side. Happy to have it.
If you travel, you know when it comes to love.
See you soon.
Can't wait.
The sky is no limit. You know with your Delta Amex card, being oceans apart means meeting in Aruba. And booking a war travel with your card means saving 15% on Delta flights. You know kissing under the bridge of sighs guarantees eternal love. Because you're the long-distance lovebirds. It's why you're a Delta SkyMiles Platinum American Express card member. If you travel, you know. Take off 15 discount not applicable to partner-operated flights or taxes and fees. Terms apply. Visit go.amex/you know.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Moving on. Also at 3:30, TCU -3.5 against the Baylor Bears. Like I said in the reaction show, neither the Baylor staff nor the rest of us really have much confidence in that Baylor offense, and especially so against a better defense like TCU. I say better. It's a relative measure. They've had their moments, but TCU -3.5 is my pick here.
Yeah, I'm going to take TCU just because there is a very simple way to beat TCU, and Baylor has not been able to do that simple. Well, not simple, but it's a very obvious, straightforward thing, and that's generate chunkier plays. Baylor is totally awful at making plays that go downfield, either on the ground or through the air. TCU should be fine here. I don't like TCU all that much this season, but I'd rather take below average over somewhat embarrassing. And that's the choice that I have to make in this game.
4 p.m. Another one. I have no idea what to make of this one.
Virginia Tech. This one should be fun, though.
Virginia Tech -3.5 against Louisville. Tech lost last week to Wake, due in large part to 3 turnovers, 10 penalties. It was a sloppy game. And they're favored on the road against a Louisville team that, granted, highly questionable on defense, but really seemed to get its act together last week against Florida State. You don't seem to value getting your act together against Florida State. I understand. I get it.
Well, I was the one who did call Louisville beating Florida State in the face of the doubters and haters on the other line.
This is 100% true. So as the resident Louisville whisperer on the show.
Yeah.
Counsel me through this one. Which way are you going?
I'm going Virginia Tech here.
Why?
And I'm going Virginia Tech because they just seem so two-faced, where as soon as you have confidence in them, they look horrible. And as soon as they look horrible, they play well and run. I think Khalil Herbert should have a really nice game against Louisville on the ground. And I just don't think Virginia Tech is going to string together consecutive clunkers. I really don't think that's the case. Louisville is good. I think Virginia Tech has its act a little bit more together. I worry about their, I think it's their run defense that's susceptible, but they do a pretty good job against the pass. So I worry about Javian Hawkins winning this game for Louisville. But overall, I think Virginia has more ways in which they can win this game. And if Louisville had a heartbeat on defense over a few weeks, I'd feel better about the Cardinals, but I just do not. So I'm going Tech here.
What's the
going Gobblers?
What's the difference at this point between Virginia Tech and TCU? Because both teams to me have that like disappointing quality of constantly feeling like they should be better than they are, and I just don't want to put myself in another emotional situation like that.
I think Hendon Hooker's ceiling is a little bit higher. I think Virginia Tech's defense is less prone to giving up killer game-changing plays. So I think I can depend on the Hokies a little bit more than TCU at this point. Because TCU is going to follow their birdie up with four bogeys, and we're going to just hone in on that birdie.
That's what I do, yeah.
Am I speaking your language?
I'm speaking my language here.
Your love language?
Yeah.
I think Virginia Tech is a little bit more. I think they are closer to average more consistently. I don't know if that's a compliment, but
that's
the reality I see with Virginia Tech. With Hendon Hooker, I think they have a more interesting ceiling than TCU.
I really want to give Tech the benefit of the doubt because I like Hendon Hooker, but
sure,
there is that quality to Virginia Tech that leaves me very anxious about siding with them. I'm going to go Louisville getting points at home.
Louisville.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm going to go. I don't like the defense at all, but you know, for what it's worth, they played pretty well against Notre Dame. They look good, better at least a week ago against Florida State. And I'm going to go Louisville here. Maybe they've turned the corner.
Yeah, I hate rolling with teams that give up the degree, the magnitude, and how often they're giving up chunk plays. I hate that.
Four other games here in that afternoon block that I want to call to your attention. Let me know if any of them are of interest.
Let's do it.
Notre Dame -19.5 versus Georgia Tech. We've got Ole Miss -17.5 on the road at Vandy. Northwestern on the road, a 3.5-point dog in Iowa City against the Hawkeyes, and Indiana squaring off against Rutgers. I don't have a line for this game. Didn't see one.
Rutgers favored by 28.5.
any of those games of interest?
Yeah, I think Notre Dame rolls against Georgia Tech. This is what we're a week out of the Clemson game.
Yeah.
Ooh. So I don't think it's a look ahead spot, but I think it's a stay locked in after that Pitt game spot. I don't think it's a letdown look ahead sandwich because I don't think that beating up on Pitt isn't necessarily a letdown to me. I have Ole Miss big against Vandy just because Vandy's playing. If Vandy were to play Kansas, I don't know what I would do, Ty. I have Northwestern over Iowa.
So do I.
I have the thought that if Aiden O'Connell can succeed enough, and I know it was Xander Horvath, I know it was David Bell, I know it was a group effort in a way that Northwestern doesn't have a group necessarily on offense. But my thinking is, if Aiden O'Connell can get it done, and Iowa has to fix things internally in terms of discipline and scheme and whatever. I just saw, did you see Bill Connolly posted that Iowa ran precisely zero plays in man coverage against Purdue, which that's something. And I know Iowa's a largely zoned team, but if Aiden O'Connell can do it, and I think Peyton Ramsey can. Or as you like to refer to him, Patrick Ramsey. Either one of the Ramseys can get
it
done.
It's 100%
against
true.
Iowa. So yeah, when they played 2 years ago, I know Iowa, I think, blanked them last year in Evanston. It was like 20-0, 22-0. But 2 years ago, with a better Northwestern team, which they're not right now, and a better Iowa team, it seems, it was 14-10 Northwestern. So I'm going to roll with something along those lines. I think Northwestern can get it done.
You did the express preview of both these teams.
Yeah.
So you feel confident with Northwestern then?
I think so.
Yeah. Okay.
It's one of those things where offensively Iowa just, I don't think all the gears are operating on the same machine. Like, I don't think Spencer Petras, I think that's how you pronounce it, doesn't throw with much touch, right? He's not in sync with his receivers, which is understandable given 2020 and everything like that. I just think the ability to score points and score points creatively for Iowa might happen. I think it's going to take a minute. So I know it's, you know, new Northwestern offense, new coordinator, new quarterback. I know it's going to take a minute for them to fully realize where they are, but looked all right against Maryland. And so that's what at least an okay offense should do. And I'm going to go with Northwestern to continue that until I see improvement from Iowa.
Yeah, I like Northwestern outright. I like Ole Miss to just destroy Vandy. Notre Dame for Georgia Tech. You know, I don't touch those points. I don't.
What about Indiana Rutgers? I had a line there. It's Indiana's by a few, I think.
Yeah, I'm. I think Rutgers is going to be better this year, especially on defense. They did work. They cobbled together. Some guys came over in the transfer portal.
Right.
And I think there is actual letdown potential for Indiana because that was a big deal. Big deal, sure. Big win. They're putting t-shirts together for the stretch. Like,
oh, God. Yeah.
So I think there's real letdown potential.
A team that played like that on offense does not deserve a t-shirt. That moment deserves a t-shirt.
The moment deserves a t-shirt.
Yeah.
I can't bring myself to go Rutgers plus whatever. I just can't.
Indiana's favored by 11.5.
That's really low. Wow, that's really low. I got to go in.
So is that an overreaction? What is that an overreaction to more demonstrably? Rutgers beating Michigan State, generating those turnovers, or Indiana, you know, ephesing their way to a win against Penn State?
I think it's an underreaction to Indiana's ephes pitch. Because Penn State, if you look at post-game win expectancy, should have won that game.
Yeah.
Based on efficiency metrics. They should have won that game, and they obviously did not execute. They made a bunch of dumb mistakes. That's what ultimately was their undoing.
Right. Which happens in the first week of a season, especially during a weird year. Yeah.
All right. Evening
I'm
slate.
Taking Rutgers. I'm taking Rutgers, by the way.
I'm going Indiana.
I'm just saying, screw it. Let's go Scarlet Knights.
You begrudged the name of the Indiana Hoosiers a week ago. I got to go Indiana now. Sticking
both
with
of these
them
teams did not look good.
They didn't. They really didn't.
Okay.
All right. 7:30. This is one half hour after our live scream. Ohio State -12.5, -11.5. Depends where you look. They are on the road in Beaver Stadium against Penn State. Now, news broke earlier today that Noah Kane, another Penn State running back, is done for the year after an injury. He was in a boot on the sidelines against Indiana. That is notable because we had Journey Brown be ruled out for the season. Now we got Noah Kane. Thankfully, running back is a spot where Penn State's got some depth at running back. But the point here is not as much as they used to. And, you know, in a game like this where you got to be firing on all cylinders to beat potentially the best team in the country, I've got reason for concern there. The line here opened around 9.5. It quickly jumped up. This has been an extremely close contest the last 4 years. Two of those games being decided by just 1 point. The trends are interesting. The caveat, though, is that Trace McSorley ain't walking out onto that field. Now it's Sean Clifford.
Right.
Sean Clifford has had moments. Last year, I believe he threw for 71 yards, I want to say, against Ohio State. I am not at all confident in Sean Clifford. Sean Clifford on some weeks is a better version, on some weeks is a lesser version of Bo Nix. So you're telling me at home against the premier team in the conference, down a running back, maybe starting to figure it out a little bit in terms of who he could throw to between Freiermuth and Jahan Dotson. Had some moments last week, but this strikes me as a game where Ohio State is demonstrably better. I could see it being close. I can see them adding a late touchdown to put it out of reach, but I like something in the 33-34-21 category. Ohio State wins on the road.
We have a new sound as it relates to Penn State. Can you please play it?
Kirk Shiraka.
We do have a Kirk Shiraka. Yeah.
How dare you, sir? How dare you turn your back after January, February, March, April, May, June, July, August, September, soon to be fully October, of celebrating Kirk Shiraka.
Kirk Shiraka.
It's true.
And then 1 week in which Penn State wildly outgained their opponent, you turn your back on KC or KSC? I don't know. Ty, what are we doing here? What are we doing here? If there is something Ohio State needs to shore up, I think their line play could improve. You saw Nebraska both get some push, and also what were Adrian Martinez and Luke McCaffrey succeeding doing?
Running
the ball, right?
Yeah.
What is Sean Clifford probably best at doing right now as a football player?
I believe that'd be running the
probably
football.
Running yeah. the ball, maybe throwing on the what?
On the run, on off the run? Short leg, yeah.
Short leg run. This game's close. I still like Penn State's defensive front. You like Shaka Toney? Can he play?
I do.
Is he around?
I like him.
I like Penn State here. I think they're going to win this game by like three touchdowns.
No. Come on.
I think they just keep it close. I think they keep it close because of their defense. The running back depth absolutely scares me. But I don't know. I think there was week one-itis to what they look like, especially in that first half against Indiana. I think it's clean upable. This was like what Sean Clifford got hurt last year, right? We got excited about Will Levis for like a minute and a half, and then he was not all that good. So I am banking on some sort of overall improvement. I don't love Sean Clifford, but I think there's enough potential there. There's enough film now after a week that we can see some Penn State improvement and keep it relatively close. If not, jump out to a lead, Ty. I like Ohio State a good amount. I think Ohio State is probably one of the best 2.5 teams in the country. But on the road, first time on the road on this season, certain things not able to give the defense the luxuries that they had last year. Chase Young, obviously, no longer on that line. Yeah, I think Penn State can hang. I think Penn State can make adjustments and hang once again. Lose by 6 or 7. I don't think they're in the same vicinity, but yeah, I think it's hangable for sure.
Our previews aren't all that different here because I've got Ohio State with a late touchdown to potentially cover the spread.
Sure.
And you've got Penn State hanging within the number. So
yeah,
why don't we just say something like 27-21 or 33-21?
Yeah, that's where I am right now. Yeah.
So we sort of agree.
Sort of agree. But yeah, I think Penn State covers at home because defense at home, yes, 2020, weird year to play at home. Doesn't matter as much. Good defense at home.
I don't know. I'm not sold on Clifford. I'm just not sold on Clifford. He didn't feel like he got any better to me, but
I'm with you. I'm definitely with you. But this is not last year's Ohio State team. This is still an Ohio State team trying to find their identity this year, right? This is not a fully grown and developed team yet.
Kirk. Plus, there's Kirk Shiraka.
Exactly. Kirk Shiraka.
All right.
Put some respect on his name.
8 o'clock, North Carolina -6.5 against Virginia. This is another one. I have no idea why this point spread is so low. I think Carolina.
It is KC, by the way. I didn't know if Shiraka started with an S or a C. It is KC.
It's a KC. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Sorry. Continue.
I got Carolina by 10 to 14 points. I'm inclined to lock it up. I'm not going to. But this is one that I feel pretty confident about.
Virginia plays the run pretty well. They're certainly a better team with Brennan Armstrong. I think North Carolina wins this game, but it's in the 4 to 5 point range. I think Virginia does enough and they're well coached enough that they can hang around at home. So I'm taking the points here. I'm going a decent defense at home.
We've got Mississippi State on the road at Alabama. Alabama's a 32.5 point favorite.
Yeah.
That's a large number.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is going to be for Mississippi State going 3 and out on a ton of drives. Alabama pounding the rock with Najee Harris taking the air out of the ball. Alabama wins going away. The question is, can Mississippi State score any points? And can they score enough to cover this point spread?
How many points does Mississippi State need to score to cover the spread if we believe Alabama, even without Jalen Waddle, and now Mississippi State without Kylan Hill, who's no longer with the team? It's believed, I saw some reports, that he's just going to start training for the NFL draft. How many points is coverable if Alabama can score 50 on anybody, essentially?
Yeah, I think Mississippi State's got to get to like 24. Can they get to 24?
No. I don't believe so. So I'm gonna give those points. Does Alabama have anybody crazy next week? They have a bye week. It's open-faced, letdown, look-ahead potential. No. I don't see it.
I have 52-24.
You think 24 points is on the table for...
I don't know. Probably not. But I'm going to stick to it. That's what I wrote in my notes. So we'll roll
52-17. Alabama covers. By the way, it's LSU after the bye week. Did you see where game day is going for Alabama-LSU weekend?
No.
They're going to Augusta National.
Oh, great.
They're broadcasting out of the Masters.
Okay.
Because...
why not?
I don't know. Somebody wants to be around Augusta National.
Because
that,
they can.
That crew. Yeah.
Arkansas on the road at Texas A&M. A&M, 10.5 points a favorite here. So look, they're a good team, A&M. They haven't exactly been pulling away from teams this season. So I am torn because Arkansas is on that pluck-o-meter that we reference here on the show. I feel like A&M should be 14, at least 14 points better than Arkansas. But that pluckiness does, it's got me a little worried with regard to the point spread.
Have you ever watched a Texas A&M Arkansas game? Here are the last few scores. 35-28, 28-21. Mind you, these are all A&M wins. 35-28, 28-21, 45-24, 50-43, 24-17. And last year, 31-27, as down and disgusting an Arkansas team and program as we've seen, still a four-point game against A&M.
Ooh.
And now this year, they're bringing pluck to the table, Ty.
A lot of pluck.
This game's always drunk. This game is always drunk.
All right, you talk
me into
it.
I'm going hogs here, Ty.
Let's go hogs.
There's some hogs in this pick for me.
We'll pick Suey. 7:30. Yeah. Speaking of pluck-o-meters, Missouri. Fresh off their win last week over Kentucky, now on the road against Florida. The Gators, 12.5 point favorite. Haven't played in 3 weeks, Dan.
It's been a minute.
Yeah. Their defense also kind of stinks. Mizzou is kind of feisty.
Yeah.
Florida's got awesome uniforms this week, by the way. I don't know if you saw those.
What are Florida's uniforms this week?
They got like the F in a white bubble. Look them up. Go and look that
up. Oh, okay. Sort of a throwback-inspired look.
Oh, it's cool.
Okay. I'm looking now.
But I kind of feel like I got to go Mizzou plus the points here. I don't think they're beating Florida, but...
Why?
I got to go Mizzou plus the points because I feel like they've got that feist to them. And furthermore, I just made that up, feist.
Is that a word? I know that's a singer. Feist is a singer.
I just made that up. I am not one to... jump on a team after they've had that long of a layover. 3 weeks is a lot. They didn't start practicing until recently. So give me Mizzou plus the points. Florida wins outright, but Mizzou plus the points feels about right to me.
These jerseys and uniforms are great, but the F in the bubble feels like what would be on top of a book report. You really didn't do that well.
A little bit, yeah.
Like you can't put an F on your helmet and play anything less than amazing. I am going to go Florida here because there is a way to beat Mizzou. Some teams have done it. Some teams have not been able to do it. You got to throw on them. You got to throw on Mizzou. Mizzou has issues. Their defense is improved. It's interesting. But if you can go downfield, which Florida most certainly can, you should be able to have your way with Mizzou. I'm going Gators here. I'm going Gators pretty big. It feels like an LRO moment for Mizzou. Luck running out a bit. even though it hasn't been luck, but the teams that Mizzou has beaten, they've either exchanged that with, like LSU, the downfield passing, or just Kentucky was unable to do anything about it. So I'm going Gators here. I'm going Gators here by, I don't know, 22, 38, 16, if my math is quickly correct. Yeah, somewhere in there.
Two other night games before we rifle off a couple other matchups that we didn't include. We've got Oklahoma minus two touchdowns on the road against Texas Tech. And I have Charlotte versus Duke. Battle of North Carolina. Duke favored by 10.
Duke's not 10 points better than anybody.
No, any feelings on those games?
I'm taking Oklahoma confidently, and they're going to be my lock of the week.
Lock of the week.
Oklahoma on the road, Dan. Okay.
It's interesting. Well, they were on the road last week, I believe, right? Against TCU and won that game comfortably against your Froggies.
Against my Froggies. That's right.
Yeah. Okay. So just making sure. Oklahoma answered some questions in that they were able to hold on and they were able to play pretty good defense for four quarters. I don't think this is a new Sooner team, but against a Texas Tech team, which uncharacteristically, I guess it makes sense given the shuffle that they've had to endure at quarterback, but they don't generate bigger plays. The West Virginia game, yes, it was nice. They beat West Virginia. It was, I believe, in Lubbock, right?
Yeah.
Their win expectancy after that game was 22%. Pretty uneven performance from Texas Tech. I'm going to go with Oklahoma bringing them further down to earth, farther down to earth. Further is time or distance, like intangible distance. Farther is actual space. So I'm going Sooners here. I think they win this game by, I don't know, three touchdowns, 42-21, 42-24, somewhere in there. Yeah, give me Oklahoma and lock it up.
All right. Wow. I do like Oklahoma as well. Maybe not quite as confidently as you. A few other games here that I just want to make sure I reference. As you know, we've been doing this thing called Preverbs, where we give some of our Patreon subscribers an opportunity to be part of the show. There is a game on Friday evening between Minnesota and Maryland. Minnesota is a heavy favorite in that game.
Oh, Fry-U-Ma, right? This is the first Fry-U-Ma game. Friday night, Minnesota.
Let's kick it over to our good friend, Ollie, who has something to say.
Hey, it's Ollie from Mankato here again. And I don't know if there's ever been a neck crack week coming up like I've seen before. You got the Gophers in Maryland. Now, we might need some medical doctors on here to see if it's possible to crack your neck after your back and legs have been broken. But hey, that's in the past. Why do we want to live in the past? We're going Gophers. We're going big. Huge neck crack. Sky-U-Ma and row that boat.
I think I'm with Ollie. Maryland is awful. They are awful. Minnesota
with the resurgence of Rutgers. Maryland is the new Rutgers. Is that mean to say?
I think they might be. Maryland is awful this year. Minnesota is a 3-touchdown favorite. I think they win handily. Lock it up.
Lock of the week.
It's a huge number to lay, but I have zero confidence in Maryland. Sorry to say it.
I'm learning a lot about Mankato right now. I'm on the wiki page.
Great. We had Marshall versus Florida International get postponed. Otherwise, we would have talked a little bit more about that one. We got Memphis against Cincinnati, Dan. Cincinnati, a 6.5-point home favorite. You going to finally jump aboard the Desmond Ridder train with me, or are you going to continue to slander, besmirch, disregard the name of the Cincinnati Bearcats?
I think I like Cincinnati here just because Memphis up front doesn't get much of a push and they're not all that great against the run, though. I worry about Memphis's ability to just like be down 27 in the middle of the third quarter and make it a game late. There's just something about Brady White and Memphis, you know, as much as they've lost in terms of skill position guys, I worry about Memphis, but Cincinnati, I think is, I don't want to say complete because I don't think their passing game is where it needs to be to feel all that confident about them on a national level, but against Memphis, yeah, I think they're 10 to 13 points better than the Tigers. Very, very feline matchup. We got Bearcats, which, do you know what a Bearcat is, Ty? Because there's an actual, it's a binturong. Call it a Bearcat, but it's actually a binturong.
I'm looking at this now.
Yeah.
This is not what I expected.
College sports and college programs do a really interesting job of finding non-mainstream animals. Like, do you ever like come across a wolverine or a badger in your like commute or anything like
in
that?
In my commute? No, not generally. No, that would be terrifying. A 91-day gestation period. The binturong. Okay.
91 days. Pretty short.
Declining population. That's sad. At least we've got some in Cincinnati, eh? Moving on.
Not like this time.
Let's talk about Coastal Carolina -3.5 on the road at Georgia State.
I haven't seen anything about Grayson McCall, the hardest internship to get out of college, but because he was out last week, Georgia State's defense isn't it. I think Coastal Carolina rolls here by at least a touchdown.
Boise State -10.5 against Air Force. We've got SMU -14.5 against Navy. And we've got BYU -28.5 at home against Western Kentucky. I would be inclined to go SMU with a lot of confidence because Navy's pretty terrible this season.
Yeah, I like SMU big here as well. The interesting play to me, though, is Boise State Air Force. I think I like Boise State, but this is a major look-ahead spot, right? BYU the following week?
Yeah, big time.
So a bit of a letdown look-ahead spot, even though Boise obviously takes Air Force seriously. They haven't always played great against Air Force. So I'm concerned. I'm not confident, but I'm taking Boise State. I'm also taking Western Kentucky to cover against BYU.
It's a lot of points.
And I know BYU can score, but for that same reason, that look-ahead thing against Boise State has me concerned.
All right. That's all I got on my sheet. I don't know if there's any other games you'd like to discuss here.
Will you drop that bloody, gory, stabbing drum and fire?
Time for the Colonial League Lightning Round, Dan. We got the Northwestern Lehigh Tigers, 4-0 on the year, traveling down south, down Route 309, across Route 22, to get over to Catasauqua to square off against the 1-4 Rough Riders. Dan, who you got?
You know anybody in Catasauqua?
I know
contacts.
A ton of people in Catasauqua.
Why do they live there?
You'd have to ask them.
No, I mean, how do you know them?
Caddy was our
rival. Are they from there? Is there a big industry in the Caddy?
No, there's no big industry.
Oh, okay. I'm going to go Northwestern Lehigh then here. There's momentum to the Tigers, I believe. That's what they said they were on SportsCenter that I just can't deny. So go Northwestern Lehigh.
Got to go Northwestern Lehigh. How about Northern Lehigh? A Lehigh of a different ilk. They're 3-2. They're the Bulldogs. And they are traveling just across the Lehigh River to square off against the Palmerton Blue Bombers, who are 1-4.
Yeah, I know. But their record does not indicate how hard they've fought this year.
They're the Blue
Bombers.
The Blue Bombers.
Yeah.
Palisades, the Pirates, are 4-1. They are traveling north from Kintersville to get up to Saucon Valley to square off against the Panthers. Panthers are 2-2. Who you got?
How do you go against the Pali High Pirates, Ty? Come on. This is the class of the league.
Southern Lehigh, a quick jaunt over on Interstate 78 to square off against the Salisbury Falcons, Dan. Who you got?
Do you know anybody in Salisbury?
I do.
Who do you know in Salisbury? Be very specific.
No, I know people in Salisbury.
Did you go to high school with them? Did you work with them currently? Are they in your bowling league? Give me at least a connection.
Bowling league? No. I know plenty of people in Salisbury, full stop.
Big industry in Salisbury?
Not really. Not particularly.
Okay. Would you go on a date night in Salisbury? Is it close enough to do that?
Yeah. Sure.
Do you have a spot that you would go to in Salisbury?
No, not really.
Maybe a tapas bar? No?
Tapas bar. No tapas that I know of in Salisbury.
I'm going to look this up. Southern Lehigh big here.
We got the Banger Slaters at 1-3 on the road at the Penn Argyle Green Knights, also 1-3. This game being played on Halloween, Dan.
Yeah, I don't think you just march into Multi-Argyle Field and come away with a victory.
We're really trying here. Trying to bridge that gap.
Yeah. Give me Penn Argyle.
By the way, this is Eastern Pennsylvania High School football, for those wondering what the hell we're talking about. Finally,
who's your pick?
I'm going to go Penn Argyle.
Believe in that Welsh influence in Bangor?
I don't. Okay. Also on Halloween, to close it out, the Notre Dame Green Pond Crusaders, 4-0.
Mm-hmm.
Traveling again. I guess it's a short jaunt over for those guys. Square off against the Wilson Warriors, Dan, over in Palmer Township.
You spent a lot of time in Palmer Township?
I've played baseball at Palmer Township. In a
like high school baseball
age.
Or
yeah,
rec
yeah.
league?
No, I
How is it over there?
Base.
Nice area?
It's, yeah, it's not bad.
Date night?
You can go over there and find spots for date night. Sure.
You can have a nice little romantic evening with the missus?
I think so, yeah.
What about Wilson? Is Wilson a high school in a city that's called something else?
Wilson's right by Easton.
Oh, I like Easton.
You've been to Easton. You know Easton. There's a Lafayette influence there.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Interesting. Do you know anybody in Wilson?
I do. You keep asking me this. I know.
I just don't know. You're so
places.
Social. I don't know.
I know people in all of these places, Dan.
All right. I'm going to go Warriors here. I think Notre Dame is, I think they're vulnerable. I think their record belies some very obvious weaknesses to all of us who have been breaking down the All-22. So give me the Warriors of Wilson here.
You know I generally go against Notre Dame, don't you?
Yeah, I do.
Got to go Wilson. Got to go Warriors. Got to
so,
commit to the bit.
Can I ask you a Halloween question?
Please.
You said you're going to turn off the light.
The
and you
what?
May not, you have some Hellraisers who are looking for candy and you just don't want to
right.
buy in. You're not opting into Halloween necessarily.
Correct. Opting out of 2020 trick-or-treat night.
I know you're not a big sugar guy.
You
like pumpkin pie. I know there are elements, but.
Correct.
Candy-wise, if we are putting, if Friday night they say, okay, everybody between, I don't even remember how old you are, 45 and 50 gets to go trick-or-treating. What are you happiest to see in your plastic pumpkin candy-wise? I'm not asking for a top three. Just give me a candy scene that you'd be happiest looking into.
Give me a little bit of Starburst. Need to be the Reds. The Reds are the best. Need to have some of those miniature Snickers, perhaps some Kit Kats.
Are you thinking the little tiny square Snickers or do you want the fun size?
No, I'd prefer the bigger. The bigger model.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
But give me a little bit of a Kit Kat, maybe some Nestle Crunch. I don't know if that's still a thing, but that was always a crowd favorite for me. How about yourself?
I think we would be great trick-or-treating as a duo.
Oh.
Because all of those things that you mentioned, I could part with without thinking twice. Like
okay.
We could Stockton and Malone, Eastern PA, like nobody's business.
Well, what side are you on?
I want a Milky Way Midnight.
Okay.
I like caramel a lot. I would mess around with Twix. I like a good M&M.
I'm writing this down. Would mess around with
Twix. Yeah, buddy.
Continue.
Mess around with Twix, Milky Way Midnight. I don't gravitate towards the like your Skittles, your Starburst, your Nerds. You can have all of that. Dark chocolate. Oh, I go heavy Reese's.
Yeah, we've had
so
this.
We've
talked about this before.
Yeah, give me some pieces, give me some cups, give me the cups with the pieces. Yeah, dark chocolate, peanut butter, caramel, anything. Snickers are good. Anything in that general vicinity, I'm great with.
Hmm. All right. Well,
I'll gummy a worm.
Yeah.
Sure.
How do you feel about Sour Patch Kids, to bring it full circle?
Jody with an I enjoys them, but it's not for me.
Hmm.
They're fine. I'm not saying they're bad. But if you're giving me a choice, if I'm going through an aisle at a drugstore, your CVS, Rite Aid, whatever, it's Reese's, it's Twix, it's dark chocolate, it's Milky Way Midnight. That's where my eyes are going.
So is it a Sour Patch Saturday or is it a Shake It Off or a Shrug It Off Saturday?
Yeah, I mean, Shake It Off, Shrug It Off are pretty similar. Look, here are the teams that are looking to shake off some cobwebs, Ty? Yes? No?
I think so. Yeah. If you're not going to do it this weekend, when are you?
That's true. Okay. Clemson looking to shake off some cobwebs, right?
Yeah.
Didn't look fully like themselves. West Virginia losing to Texas Tech. Didn't look like themselves. Kentucky looking to shake off the Mizzou cobwebs. Auburn has been in that perpetual state. Nebraska, Baylor, looking at a lot of these favorites. Penn State looking to shake off the turnover cobwebs after last week. Virginia, for sure, with Brennan Armstrong looking to shake off some of those non-Armstrong results. Oklahoma's still trying to shake off some cobwebs. I'm seeing a lot of this. Minnesota against Maryland, definitely shaking
off
some cobwebs.
Why don't we do this? Why don't we again split the difference?
Okay.
We do need to circumvent any potential copyright violations here.
I don't think Taylor Swift owns the phrase shake it off.
But we don't want to be embroiled in any kind of legal dispute with Tay Tay. She's got more money and resources than we do. So maybe. I think
the defense contracts tie that you've authored.
Well, oof. This is true.
Oof.
I think we go shrug it off Saturday to just bypass any potential legalese. And then you can also use that cool, like, ASCII artwork on the Twitter. The little guy shrugging.
Okay. So it's Shruggy Saturday. That's Shruggy.
Shruggy.
That's his name.
He's Shruggy Saturday. I like it. Perfect.
Shruggy Saturday. Yeah. What are you going to do? All right.
Fun show. Thank you to one and all for writing in, for calling in, for giving us your input. SolidVerbal@gmail.com. Don't forget to give a dial to the Reverb Line as you're watching on Halloween. Mm-hmm. 408-VERBAL-1 is the phone number. Don't forget, also on Halloween, we are doing a live scream.
7 p.m. Eastern, ahead of Ohio State, Penn State, recapping the day's action, looking ahead to the nightcap, and maybe eating candy together. Maybe just we can hang out with certified and premium verballers and eat candy and celebrate that at the same time as celebrating college football. Does that sound fun?
Sounds
to me.
Sounds like a ton of fun. I am all in. Check us out at verballers.com for more information on how to get access, how to unlock your live stream access, Dan. Mm-hmm. We are also on our website, solidverbal.com. You can find all of our social links there. You can also figure out how to subscribe if you aren't already subscribed, if you aren't already getting all of our shows to your podcasting app of choice. You can find everything you need right there. For that guy over there, my good friend, Dan Rubenstein, for myself, Ty Hildenbrand, we will talk to you all in a few days with Mr. Matthew McConaughey. In the meantime, stay solid.
Peace.
If you travel for work, you know to pack two suits, business and swim. You know with your Delta SkyMiles Business Amex card, buying that plane ticket for a business trip can get you closer to medallion status. You know that a meeting in Montana means visiting almost every national park.
Yellowstone? Check.
Because you're the chief excursion officer. It's why you're a Delta SkyMiles Platinum Business American Express card member. If you travel, you know. Terms apply. Visit go.amex/you know business.